Co-owners of family businesses can and often do go to battle over control of their companies. While nobody wants a civil war, it makes sense to know how to fight and win if you find yourself involved in one. All this and more on today's jam-packed episode of Mission Work Optional.
This is Mission Work Optional, sponsored by True Wealth & Company. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to secure your family's investment legacy. Create a work optional lifestyle, accomplish all items on your bucket list, and ensure your money outlives you. This podcast will self-destruct in 30 minutes. And now, here's this week's mission with your host, Brian Sarth of True Wealth & Company.
Coming out fighting this week on Mission Work Optional.
Welcome to Mission Work Optional. I'm Brian Sarf. We're here every Tuesday at 5 a.m., and we hope you are too. I'm joined today by the one and only Mr. Brian Paulson. You can find the Mission Work Optional podcast on iTunes, Anchor.fm, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. So this week, we're going to talk about winning a family business civil war. It's something that no business owner wants to go through. Nobody wants their family to go through it. I mean, unless you just hate them. Nobody wants to go through this, but so many times a founder passes away, a founder wants to have a succession plan, whatever happens, and nobody did the hard work and the planning up front, and so you're left with an absolute mess, and the kids have to fight for control, or the family's got to fight for control, or whoever has an ownership or a controlling interest in your company is going to belly up to the table on that one. So for today's takeaways, a civil war over the family business can start when the founder doesn't plan for a transition of ownership. That's number one. Number two, temporary shifting alliances among family members can work to your advantage, but they're not without risk. And number three, enlisting the right professionals can make all the difference and separate winners from losers. We know the Civil War was a battle fought in the United States, 1861 to 1865, and 600,000 Americans were left dead in their wake. And it seems like families that go through a business civil war, or go through fighting over a company, feels like they've gone through a civil war. That not that anybody dies in there, but the fact that it absolutely tears apart the fabric of the family. It devastates relationships, you know, relationships you've had with your brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, whoever's involved in the business, that those are strained. The families don't want to get together and hang out. And what was a successfully running business soon turns into a pile of mush that nobody wants to be a part of. However, because you love the legacy of the founder of the company, you love the ideas of the company and the customers, you're going to fight for control and fight for what you think is right, because there were no instructions left on how to disband the company. So ideally, you would put planning in place. So if you're a business owner or you're part of a family business, this our podcast today is for you, that there's so many ways to do so, to plan for it, that you can set up contingencies. You can put it in your operations agreements. You can put it in the employment agreements of your employees. You have to have the ability that, how do you get out a bad partner in a business who makes a monster screw up and they have to be forced out? How do you change ownership of the company if somebody passes away or they want to leave the business? How do you put everything in writing? Well, you have to hire a great business attorney. You got to talk through the options, and then you have to lay down and have the owners of the company sign and agree that this is the operating agreement that you're going to be a part of. A lot of businesses have an operating agreement they wrote in the beginning, and now it's 30 years later and they've never really rewritten it. So when you're doing your succession planning, you got to crack open those old musty documents. You need to rewrite them and talk to everybody and let people know what your plans are. Otherwise, you end up with a civil war. And today we're going to talk about not the good side on how to do it. We're going to talk about the bad side, that assuming the owner passes away and now the kids are going to step in, or the family's going to step in, and they're going to fight over it. And I tell you what, when these things get rolling, man, it is nasty to be in the middle of it. I know that all the business attorneys that we work with have been around these that have imploded, and they're no fun to be around and no fun to watch, because you just see all these relationships completely torn apart.
And it doesn't have to be just a family relationship. It can be a business like ours where you've got good friends that work together. Really, any business owner should be listening to this and taking notes. When it's a family business, it creates some really special, hard circumstances. You talked about what happens if the owner passes away. Mm-hmm. What happens if the owner has dementia? yep. and just can no longer do the job, and mom and dad are already dealing with enough stress.
Just look at CBS Viacom and everything that's happened in that company where the court's having to rule, does he have the mental capacity to still run the company and to make decisions in the company? They've ruled he has, and then they rule he hasn't, and then he has, and so they're having to break apart a wonderfully successful company, and you have to see what ends up happening, but it's definitely a slippery slope. When you don't have planning in place and you don't have a succession plan in writing for whether you're incapacitated and still alive or that you've passed away. If you have a family business where when you don't have an autocratic figure that's the head of the company that makes the final decision on important decisions, there's three types of decisions. Type one is they're critical, they're irreversible decisions. Those are decisions that the owner should be making. The second type are decisions where you don't really need the owner to make the decision, but they want to be informed about it, and everybody else can make those. Then there's the third decisions that you don't need the owner involved in the business, and that's just a lot of your everyday tasks and everything you're doing, that a business would be paralyzed if every decision had to go through the business owner. It's the type one decisions that really crumple a business when you want to buy a new location. You know, you want to stop selling a certain product line. You want to evolve into another business. You want to take on debt. You want to bring in another partner. You want to hire another division. You want to build a new manufacturing plant. You know, let's say that you decide that you want to get into the cannabis business and you want to use company funds for that, but everybody else in the family is completely against it. You're going to end up in a pretty nasty little war trying to figure that one out. Usually, though, the civil wars start when the original builder of the business passes and they don't have any succession plans or any documents in place. And everybody goes from knowing what's happening and who's in charge to complete chaos, that everybody is making their own decisions, thinking they're doing it in the best interest of the company. Then what ends up happening is somebody makes decision A of going in one direction, somebody makes decision B going in the opposite direction, and they collide in conflict. And then you have problems and issues with customers and suppliers and agreements. I know there's a company in town that their founder just passed away. He had cancer. He died pretty quickly. And he passed away 8 months ago, and they're still finding out about side deals that he had set up and people he had contracted and promised that they had no idea. And some had ownership in the company he had sold them that nobody knew they owned part of it. They didn't know about contracts they had, and they're 8 months, 9 months in, still figuring these out. And I would expect they're probably going to have another 10 months or so, a year, year and a half, to figure out all of these different agreements and everything that was done, because sometimes the owners play all the cards to their chest and they don't share it with everybody else in the company. And you got to kind of figure it out at the end, especially if there's no planning instructions left.
And you don't, as an owner, you certainly can play the cards close to your vest. You don't have to make everybody aware of everything. But what we're talking about in this scenario is when you keep the cards close to the vest and you don't have any documentation of how things should be done. That's the 1-2 punch.
You know, if you're going to win the Civil War, you're going to have to form a temporary alliance. It doesn't mean it's a permanent alliance, but let's say you have three cousins involved in a business. Two of them hate one of them. So the two band together to get the one out. And so number three is out. And then number one and two go head to head for control of the company. And so you have to have these alliances. It's not who's right and wrong. It always comes down to who's the most crafty and who's the most cunning to figure out the right pathway to take over ownership of the business. And it doesn't have to do with the right and wrong piece. It's always about the crafty and cunning approach. So you form your temporary alliance, you get out one person, they're removed from the equation, and now you've got two left after figured out. If you have nine partners, a few will band together to push one group out, and then the other group may form different alliances to push some other people out. Then they'll kind of get down to the last two or three people to make the negotiation to figure out who's going to end up with control. And how do you do that? You have to enlist an army. And that army are all of the folks that you're going to bring to the table to help you. You've got lawyers, you have strategists, you have negotiators, accountants, bankers, family security specialists, you have communication experts, and you have wealth planners such as us, that if you're going through trying to really go through a vicious negotiation to take over a family business, you're going to have to step in and take advice and hear the different sides and the different opinions to decide what path you're going to take to retain control of your company. The lawyers are typically very much a linchpin because they know the law, they know what can and can't be done, and they're there to give you great advice. You know, I had great advice. Pascal Hinn and Matt Geiger were phenomenal for my company in March of this year, taking over the whole business. They were indispensable to me to lay that out. I worked with a communication expert, Dean Davison, to work with him to talk through strategies and those things to take to make sure everything's set up, clients are happy, everything's in order, But we went through, you know, all these, and my accountant with Nick Ong helped me get the accounting side set up and go through and make sure that all the pieces were in place as we go through and take care of the company, buy everything out, and get everything set up. And everything was set up wonderfully well.
Yeah, those experts can be indispensable. And really, it's not that you have to do both strategies that you just talked through, where you have to either create an alliance or you enlist an army. Those are two strategies that you can apply. Now, the thing that becomes, especially in a family situation, creating alliances, the reason that there's some risk with that is ultimately, in the end, there can be a lot of hard feelings created. Because like you said, a lot of times you get the first cousin out of the mix, and then you find out that the two of you don't agree anymore, and now all three of you have bad blood. So you got to pick your direction and your strategy.
One of the great strategies, though, is when you're part of a business and you see and you know that there's no succession planning in place, you know nothing is laid out and it's going to be ridiculous. You're going to have to go on the sly and on the side early and often begin to enlist lawyers and accountants and communication experts and strategists and all these communication experts early to begin to get counsel in the beginning on how you position this to know that when that person passes away, as their health fails and they pass away, that you're already ahead of the game, that you have people lined up that can help you take control of the business and figure out, okay, get me a copy of the operations agreement. Get me a copy of these agreements. What does it say here and there? Well, here's the strategy we can take. Here's the way this works. And you can begin to have those thoughts, and you're ahead of the game much earlier, and you've already put some time in to try and figure out what do you have to do to protect that company, to grow it, or to keep that company so you can grow it down the road if you see that coming. And there's a lot of folks that will step in and take that approach. Brian, walk us through, what if you win the war? So you've had this civil war, you've made your alliances, you've pushed out the people you don't want, you've got your strategists involved, you go through that, maybe you put them together in the beginning, and we're a little sly and cunning. You know, it's the crafty and cunning that win these family business civil wars. What happens if you win the war?
If you win the war, typically you've got an initial step of you got to clean up and hopefully you can come to terms with your family members and mend relationships. That's certainly something. But the big thing I hope you've learned if you've gone through a family civil war is that you never want to see that happen again. And, you know, we talk about enlisting all those specialists in the process of the civil war. But the reality is, let's say you have a good transition plan. You're probably going to engage the same group of experts because at this point, you need to make sure that you've got a transition plan with the new structure. What's the new operating agreement? Everything's changed now. You need to bring your accountants in. You probably need a communication specialist. Let's say there's been a smooth transition of the business, but it was your father who's passed it now to you. You still have a need for communication outbound to say, hey, this is where we're at. We planned this out appropriately, and here's how we're going to carry forward.
Well, you want to make sure that you're communicating that to your customers and your suppliers, that it's not a secret.
Correct.
You want those people involved early and often. You want them part of the business. Because number one, if that's part of your succession plan, you want to know that they can actually do the business and be involved in it. And so you get them involved, you put them in place, you have them meet customers, greet customers, they're running part of the business, they're involved in the important decisions. And then whenever they take that business over, you know that they're ready to go to take that business over, and they're going to be able to lead it in the right direction. The biggest part is introducing them to your network. Because that's how your business grew, was your network of connections. And you don't want them to have to remake all those connections. Some they may want to, but many of those connections, they're going to continue to use the same people that have advised you and your business, and you want to share those, and you don't want to leave it a secret. You want that written down somewhere. You want those laid out for somebody to take over. But if you've gone through a civil war and none of that was provided to you, and you're taking over the business to run it, you know, I know that we had a gentleman died that had a big landscaping business. And, you know, they had multiple family members. Nobody really knew what to do. Mom didn't want to run it. The kids came in to try and figure out what was going on. One of the kids quit her corporate job to go run the family business that was an hour and a half away from her home. And she did that for about a year and a half, 2 years, till she finally sold it and got rid of the contracts and everything. But it took a long time because there was no planning. There was nothing in place at all to transition the business. Typically, the spouse isn't involved in it and doesn't want to manage it. And they want to move on. Plus, they're grieving the loss of their spouse. So it falls to the kids or somebody in the family to take that over. And it's just best to put it in writing and avoid all this quagmire completely, is to think it through and communicate with your employees, your staff, your customers, your clients, and the public of what's going on and having a well thought out step-by-step communication plan to communicate, to let everybody know what's happening, because people tend to like to know what's going on. Even if it's a tough decision for them to hear, you'd rather that they hear it over time than it sprung on them at the last minute.
Right.
And maybe they warm up to the individual you've picked and they begin to see why you've chosen them to lead the company in the direction that you have. Last week, Hallmark announced their new CEO, Mike Perry. It's the second CEO Hallmark's had that doesn't have a Hall last name. I assume you got to work a heck of a lot harder if you don't have a Hall last name to run Hallmark in town, but they do it right. They spend years grooming everybody. They're in multiple leadership positions. They do a ton of background checks. You've run and been successful in running a business. It's not something that happens overnight. It happens years in advance to make the transition, and you do it the right way. It's seamless. You announce it the proper way, and the transition just keeps moving, and the company keeps rolling on in the right direction. And that's really important for a company as large as Hallmark, which is a family-run business, to a small company like mine or a mom-and-pop store on the corner, that it's really important to everybody involved that it's done smoothly.
One thing that gets overlooked a lot of times, even when you do have a plan, is have you communicated it? Let's say you're going to transition it to one of your children. Have you had the conversation with your child that that's something they even want to do?
God, I'd hope so.
Right? I mean, we talk to people all the time where they've got a medical power of attorney and they've never talked to the child about what their wishes are.
Yes.
Once you've won, don't allow this to be recreated in the future. Mm-hmm. Get your operations agreement updated. If you've got multiple partners, make sure there's a buyout clause. Make sure there's a tiebreaker if there's a tie. That's part of the reason why you see alliances form.
Yes.
Let's say you've got three partners. Each has a third of a vote. Mm-hmm. You form an alliance to get two-thirds so you can have your majority. But make sure that there's that operating agreement in place. Make sure you know what the exit strategy is for the business and communicate with the people that you want to exit to. So many options to get out of the business.
Well, a benefit we provide to our clients, our business owner clients, that we want to be part of those negotiations. We want to be part of setting up those agreements and building those operations agreements, putting in a succession plan of building an exit strategy for our business owner clients so it's smooth, so it's simple, so it's easy, and the business continues to thrive and strive. Our network exists of all the people on this list, that we have the lawyers, the strategists, negotiators, accountants, bankers, family security specialists, communications experts, and wealth planners, that's us, to step in and help our clients through that and bring our army. But we want to bring our army in a friendly combat, that we're not in a civil war, to try and figure this out. It's a lot less expensive. It's a lot less timely to do it the right way. And if we can certainly assist you, please give us a call. Reach out to us to help you figure out what that plan is for your business.
Think of us as your National Guard.
That's
right.
We're
not the army. We're not here to fight a war. We're just going to secure the borders.
Hey, thanks for listening to Mission Work Optional from True Wealth & Company. I'm your host, Brian Sarf, and with me this week is
Brian Paulson.
We'll be back next Tuesday morning at 5 a.m. Be sure to spread the word about this podcast to your friends and family, and don't keep us a secret. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, connect with us on LinkedIn, and don't ever forget, invest wisely, save early, and together, let's make work optional.
You've been listening to Mission Work Optional with True Wealth & Company. Visit us online at retirewithtrue.com or call us at 913-653-TRUE. That's 913-653-8783. All matters discussed during this program are for informational purposes only. This podcast in no way shall be construed as a solicitation to sell securities or advisory services to residents in any other state than Kansas or where otherwise permitted. Topics should be discussed with your individual advisor prior to implementation. Advisory and insurance services offered through True Wealth & Company, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas.